Welcome back to TechNet Radio. It's IT time, and in part one of this three-part series, Blaine Barton and John Baker welcome back setup and deployment MVP Rhonda Layfield to the show. Tune in as Rhonda provides her top five tips and tricks for setting up Windows deployment services as she tackles some key infrastructure issues that you can avoid. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome back to IT Time Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior IT program analyst with Microsoft. And of course, I have my co-host, peer and friend, John Baker, also a senior IT program analyst out of Atlanta. How you doing today, John?
I'm doing great, Blaine. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. We got a good speaker today. We've got Rhonda Layfield from RJL. We're going to talk about Windows deployment services, some of the common setup issues you might run into. So, Rhonda, are you there?
I am. Hi, Blaine. Hey, John, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. Hey, welcome back to IT Time Radio.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. So Rhonda's a senior deployment architect. She also is a deployment Microsoft Valuable Professional, or MVP, and she also is a Windows deployment product specialist. So she's got a lot to bring to the table as far as Windows deployment in general. A little bit about Rhonda. She's 30 years of IT experience. Back in 1982, when she joined the U.S. Navy and worked in communications top secret clearance. She's also the founder of Deployment Done Right and works today as a consultant and a trainer. She loves to travel. She travels around the world presenting various deployment topics at a lot of our big conferences like TechEd. You've been to the U.S., you've been to Australia, you've been to New Zealand, Dubai, and also Europe. So once again, welcome to the show.
Great, thank you.
So it looks like we're going to be digging into Windows deployment services today, some of the common setup issues you might run into.
Right, WDS, I think if you get it set up right to start with, you'll have a lot less issues and it's a lot less more of a headache. It's really not a difficult product to set up, but there are some infrastructure issues you need to be aware of just to make your life a little easier.
Well, take it away. What you got today?
All right. In this quick session, I'm just going to show you some of the most common Windows deployment service setup issues that people run into. And from now on, I'm just going to call it WDS. If you're not familiar with WDS, it is the newest or the latest version of what we used to call the Remote Installation Service, or RIS. But this is 10 times, maybe 100 times better. At least it has a user interface now, where RIS never even had that. So the first thing I wanted to mention are the requirements for installing WDS. We did a little session on MDT, the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, a few weeks ago, and there really aren't a lot of infrastructure requirements or needs. There are some things that are nice to have, but with WDS, it's a little bit bigger animal. You must have certain requirements put into place. So what I have is a bare metal machine. You also need a DHCP, or Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol server, a domain controller. You'll need DNS and a server that's actually running WDS. So what happens on your bare metal machine is he boots up and finds out he's a DHCP client, so he gets an IP address from the DHCP server, and then usually some additional options are set, like who your DNS servers are, default gateways, things like that. So now step one is to get that IP configuration information. Then step two is to go over and talk to a DNS server and get a list of all those Active Directory service locator records to find out which machines are domain controllers. Because step three is you're going to have to authenticate to the domain before you can access the WDS server. The last requirement you have to have is an NTFS partition on the WDS server to store your images. Once you've got it installed, you're ready to configure WDS, and this is really a piece of cake. There's only two or three questions that are asked, and it depends on other services that are installed as to which questions will be asked. First, we have to tell it where we want to store the image, and then set up our DHCP options, if we have any, and then our PXE server settings. It's going to look like this. I'm on a 2008 R2 member server. This is not a domain controller, and I'm going to open the WDS snap-in. All I've done at this point is install WDS as a role. Now I have to configure it. So I can right-click on my server name, choose to configure the server, and it tells me, oh, guess what? You need Active Directory, DNS, DHCP, and an NTFS partition. So we know that. We'll click Next. It asks, which folder would you like to store your images on? I'm going to leave the default folder name, Remote Install, and choose to put it on a drive other than my operating system. These images get really big, and that drive can get very busy handing out the images to multiple clients. So I like to make sure it's on a different drive than the operating system. And the next screen you will get only if you also have DHCP installed on the same server that you've just installed WDS on. I'm going to come back to this because there's a lot more to do with DHCP, but for now, I'm going to tell it to not listen on port 67 and to configure DHCP for option 60. I promise you'll understand that in just a couple minutes. And on the next page, it asks which clients we want our Pixie server to talk to. When you get into the WDS documentation, it's really funny because the Pixie server is the WDS server, so is the TFTP server, and the network boot server. It makes it feel like when you're reading the documentation that you have to have four servers to set up WDS, but it's simply referring to different pieces of WDS that are running. They all mean it's the same server, it's the same WDS box itself. So our Pixie server, we can set it to not respond to any clients, only known client computers, which known clients are pre-staged in Active Directory. We set them up as managed computers. Or my favorite is to respond to all client computers, known and unknown, and require administrator approval for any unknown computers that haven't been pre-staged.
The thing to remember there, when you do require admin approval, that some people can be sitting there waiting for approval if the admin doesn't know to go and look and approve that that Pixie request, right? Because it ends
absolutely
up, it has to be manually approved. Yeah.
It does have to be manually approved, and what that means is an administrator has to open the WDS snap-in, and right. Once it's configured, you'll have nodes down here. One of the nodes would be listed underneath. It would be pending devices, so they would have to highlight pending devices and then right-click that pending device and tell it to approve. But what I like to do is I like to make sure that there's a message from administrator on that page. So when somebody Pixie boots, they see down at the bottom, it's sitting there and it's waiting. It's not going to do anything. And about every 10 seconds, it checks back in with the WDS server to find out if it's been approved.
Right.
If it hasn't been approved, it just sits on that Pixie screen waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, you can set it up so there's a message from administrator down at the bottom that says, if you ever see this screen, call this phone number.
Right. Right.
So that's kind of helpful. But I'll tell you, it took me about 3 years, and I'm not exaggerating, to find out how to put that message from administrator on that screen. I couldn't find it. I went to multiple MVP summits. Nobody on the WDS team could tell me how to do it. I talked to management, WDS management. They couldn't tell me how to do it. I just happened to do a hands-on lab at one of the tech eds a few years ago.
Yes.
And that was one of the things they had you do, was to set up that message from administrator. I wanted to stand up and scream in the middle of the hands-on labs, I found it, I found it. It's crazy that I couldn't find out how to get that in there. But it's a big, long, ugly WDS util command that you have to do from the command line. You cannot do it from within the snap-in itself. All right, I'm going to go ahead and click Next on this guy. Give it just a second. The configuration part is really pretty quick. We're not doing too much here. No images are being added, boot images or installation or OS images. And once starting Windows Deployment Services begins, you're up, ready to go. Let's talk a little bit about DHCP. I promised I'd give you more information on that. With DHCP, I didn't tell you the whole story. What happens is we have a little bit of a power struggle between who gets the port that's listened on between DHCP and WDS. They both listen on UDP port 67. So when you install both services on the same machine, then you've got to figure out which one gets to listen on UDP 67. Now, in a perfect world, we've got our bare metal machine. He boots up, sends out a Discover packet to the DHCP server. DHCP sends him an offer with his IP address and also says, by the way, I'm the Pixie server, which means he's the WDS server. Bare Metal Machine sends a request over, requesting the IP address that was sent or offered to him is now assigned to his MAC address. Then an acknowledgement goes back. You get a list of your boot images to choose from. These are your WinPEs. You can have multiple Windows pre-installation environments. You don't have to. If you only have one, it'll boot that one and only WinPE. Then you'll get a list of operating system images to boot. You can choose which operating system you'd like to deploy to this bare metal machine. That's kind of a perfect world scenario for DHCP and WDS, but there are three scenarios that need to be addressed. We'll talk about WDS and DHCP on the same subnet, but different servers, WDS and DHCP on different subnets, and then a little bit more information, in-depth information, on WDS and DHCP on the same server. So in the first scenario, we've got DHCP and WDS installed on two different servers, but it's the same subnet. All this traffic is broadcast traffic. So what happens is the bare metal machine boots up, sends out a discover packet to any server listening on UDP port 67, and both these guys are, so they both listen. DHCP is the only one that actually has a scope of IP addresses, so he can offer him an IP address. WDS server doesn't offer an IP address, but he does offer an offer packet that simply says, I'm the WDS server. And it's a little peculiar the way it says, I'm a WDS server. The text in the data packet itself says Pixie client. And it looks a little peculiar the first time you see a server that's not a DHCP server sending out offers, because your first thought is, wait, that's not a DHCP server, and only DHCP servers send out offers. But it's a different type of offer itself. There's no IP address in it. Then the request is broadcast back out and an acknowledgement. From the WDS server, you get your boot images and your operating system images to deploy. With WDS and DHCP on different subnets, well, that's going to introduce a problem, because broadcast traffic isn't supposed to traverse over multiple subnets. That's why we put in routers, switches, things like that. So here, we're on different subnets. So bare metal machine sends out a discover packet to the DHCP server. DHCP sends him an offer, and there's a couple of additional options that have been set here, options 66 and 67. Option 66 tells the bare metal machine the name of the WDS server. Option 67 tells the bare metal machine which file it's supposed to boot from the WDS server. Request is sent back, an acknowledgement. Then contact WDS, get your boot images and your operating system images. I'll show you how to set up 66 and 67 options in just a second. With WDS and DHCP on the same server, I didn't give you the complete story before. What's going to happen? That discover packet goes out, an offer packet comes over to the bare metal machine saying, hey, here's an IP address and an option 60 that says I'm also the WDS server. Then a request is sent to the DHCP server asking for that IP to be assigned to his MAC. An acknowledgement goes back, and then you get another discover and another offer from DHCP. This is when the WDS option 60 is actually read by the client. So in a network trace, this is a little strange to see. Normally, it's just a regular old DORA process, discover, offer, request, acknowledge packet. This I like to call a DORA do, because you're going to get an additional discover and an offer at the end. So this is typical behavior. Then you get your list of boot images and your operating system images to deploy. This is the screen that we saw previously when we configured that member server that was running WDS and DHCP. If you configure a WDS server and DHCP is not on that server, then you won't see this screen. But what happens later on if you install DHCP on a WDS server? Well, then we can go in and set these same settings, and the easiest way to do that is through the WDS properties. Some issues that I've run into, and here's one of your first tips. DHCP servers that have been decommissioned. Sometimes you've got, in large organizations, you have multiple groups that are working on various components. So you might have one group that takes care of all the infrastructure servers, all your domain controllers, DNS, and DHCP, and then a completely different group that takes care of WDS. So what happens if the infrastructure group decommissions a DHCP server, brings up a brand new one, but they didn't know that they were supposed to go in and set the options for WDS? I actually saw this in a client about last October. I had gone in, and their Pixie boot had been broken. It had been broken since March of that year. So for months and months and months, they couldn't figure out why they weren't able to pixie boot their clients any longer. And it was simply because this one option, option 60, was not set on the WDS server and the DHCP. Or actually, the option for WDS wasn't set on the DHCP server. I'm going to take it back over. We're going to go to our fully built WDS server that has images installed. This is my domain controller, as well as running DNS and DHCP. So this one box is running everything. And I'm going to take you into DHCP to start with. All right, let's maximize that screen so we can see a little bit more. And as you can see, I've already expanded my server, IPv4, and I've highlighted server options. The first option you'll see that's already selected is option 60. My Pixie client option has been set. I'm going to show you how to do that within the WDS snap-in. So to set those DHCP options, you'll need to open the DHCP snap-in. And I already have IPv4 expanded, and then under IPv4, I've got my server options highlighted. As you can see, option 60 is already set. If we want to take a look at the other two options, right-click, tell it to configure options, cruise on down to where we're going to find 66 and 67. Option 66 would be the name of the server. So if my WDS server is named WDS and the domain name is deployment.com, this is what I would input here. It's the FQDN of your server's name. Then for the boot file name, option 67, I like to build this one because it's a kind of a long path to type out. So we go find the boot file. I have my remote install folder on the E drive within that. We'll go to the boot folder and then grab the 32-bit. And then I like to just open pixieboot.com, go to the properties, and here we can highlight the entire path, get back to our option. Put the path in and the name of the file. So that's the string value you would need to input for your boot file name. It has to be the complete path to it along with the file name. So those are configuring options 66 and 67.
Great.
Now I promised you guys I would also show you inside the WDS snap-in, if you have a WDS server and now you install DHCP on it, the easiest way to set that up is to go into the Properties, DHCP tab, and these should look familiar now. Just put a check mark, do not list it on port 67, and check mark in the box for configure DHCP, option 60 to be configured for you. So you don't even have to go into DHCP if you don't want to.
Cool.
All right, so that's it pretty much for DHCP. The next topic is WDS and DNS. What happens when you install WDS on a server that already has DNS? Well, some bad things can happen because the DNS server, by default, wants to bind to the ports that WDS wants to use. The default WDS ports are 64,000 to 65,000. And I've run into this quite often when I have DNS already installed and then I put WDS on that same machine, I get this scenario. Or after you've installed a patch, MS08037, it's well documented that that patch can also cause the same problem. Let me show you what the WDS ports look like. Back on our server with WDS installed, I'm in the snap-in. You can right-click, go to Properties. And on the network tab, these are the UDP ports that WDS wants to listen on. Now, if DNS has already snagged them, then WDS doesn't get to use these. What I do usually is just come in and change them to be a 1 in there and you're good to go. You don't have to worry about DNS snagging those ports anymore because DNS will not use these ports. So 641,000 to 651. So I just changed one little teeny tiny change there, and all of a sudden you're back up and running. Now, what I mean by back up and running is your clients cannot pixie boot if DNS has taken all the ports and is using those ports to listen on. So you'll get an error message. It'll be on the black pixie screen, and it'll be error message 4011. And you're wondering, why can't I get past 4011, this port? It's because WDS doesn't have any ports available to listen on for the clients. So making this one little change will set it up for WDS to get its own set of ports.
Great tip.
I've run into this many times. In fact, one time I ran into it right before, 2 minutes before I was supposed to be doing a presentation. And I was almost panic stricken because my Pixie clients wouldn't boot. And I couldn't think, why would I be getting this? Of course, I knew the reason, but, 2 minutes before you're supposed to start a presentation. And I just couldn't remember what in the world could have been the problem. So it was really nice. I had a good friend of mine who was sitting in the front row, Michael Nystrom, another setup and deployment MVP. He said, Ron, it's your DNS ports. And I was like, oh, thank goodness you were here. Because I just couldn't even think what it could be. Let's pop back over to the slide deck. The next topic, and this is probably one of the most asked questions that I get, is Windows pre-installation environment and WDS. So good old WinPE.